In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we are now into the month of November, almost halfway. That means that we turn our minds and hearts to our dear departed loved ones, indeed the souls of all the faithful departed. It is fitting that in today's epistle, St. Paul reminds us of the utmost importance of charity, the love of God and neighbor above all things, for God's sake. Above all these things, have ye charity, says St. Paul, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Fundamentally, then, we are called to the practice of charity, this highest queen of the virtues. In our zeal to practice works of charity to those on earth, however, we sometimes forget that the dear departed souls, the faithful departed, have just as much, if not more, a claim on our charity. The souls in purgatory, thanks be to God, know none of the despair, rage, or hatred which permeates the souls of the damned in hell. Indeed, the souls in purgatory are filled with a joy we could never possibly imagine on this side of eternity, for they know that the day of their deliverance will come, and then they will be united to God forever. Nevertheless, for the time being, they are undergoing torments far more painful than we could ever conceive of here on earth. But we have the ability to mitigate, to reduce these sufferings. What of the traditional Protestant objection that there is no reference to this doctrine of purgatory in the Bible? The word purgatory is not found there, but then again, neither is the term the Holy Trinity, and most fundamentalists nevertheless believe in it. It's quite clear that the substance of the doctrine of purgatory is clearly in sacred scripture. Our Lord, for example, makes a veiled but nevertheless clear reference to it. He says in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. If therefore thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother. And then coming, thou shalt offer thy gift. Be at agreement with thy adversary, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest perhaps the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Amen, I say to thee, thou shalt not go out from thence, till thou repay the last farthing. Our Lord, dear faithful, was not giving us legal advice here. He is referring to the hereafter. And the Jewish soldiers in the second book of Maccabees, chapter 12, state clearly that they should take up a collection to be make an offering in the temple of Jerusalem, a sacrifice. Why? For the souls of the soldiers just killed in battle, for the express purpose that they would be, and I quote, loosed from their sins. Pious traditions and private revelations concerning purgatory abound in the history of the church. One of them recounts a certain mother, weighed down with the grief of the death of her only son, whom she dearly loved. But she made the mistake of not considering the good which she was still able to do for his soul by religious means, offering up prayers, having masses said for his soul and for the repose of his soul. God saw the affection of her heart, however, and knowing that it could be properly ordered, sent her a vision from heaven. She saw a great procession of youths going by in beautiful white garments, covered with ornaments and chanting lovely hymns of praise towards a magnificent temple. This mother searched anxiously for her son among the crowds in the vision, but to no avail. She finally saw him after the rest had passed by. His robe, unlike the others in the vision, was not white and clean, but dark and sullied by stains. And he did not walk on easily as the choirs of youths before him, but advanced with heavy, slowed steps. Well, it was too much to bear for the grief-stricken mother, and her sobs flared anew. She exclaimed to him, "Son, why are you so much sadder than all the rest? Why are you so far behind them?" He replied, "Mother, do you see these mournful, sullied garments? Behold in them what your obstinate grief and tears for me produce. Your unreasonable grief weighs down heavily upon me and impedes my progress. Cease abandoning yourself to mere natural feelings. And if you truly love me and desire to see me happy, arouse your faith and aid me by works of faith and charity. Assist me by your pious suffrages, as is done by other mothers not less affectionate, but more wise and more religious than you. Then I shall be enabled to join the happy company that you have seen and attain to that heavenly bliss for which I long with so much ardor." He then disappeared, leaving his mother with a desire to obtain for him his release from purgatory just as strong as had been her grief. And Saint Bernardin of Siena reveals to us a consoling detail regarding purgatory, one which demonstrates the great mercy of God because it involves the lessening of the pains experienced by the souls there. He teaches us that the pains of purgatory should be referred to as waves because, unlike the fires of hell, they are not never-ending but transitory, like the waves of the sea. Moreover, our Blessed Mother Mary frequently visits the souls in purgatory to offer them consolation and encouragement. We see then another of the wonderful advantages of being a devoted servant and child of Mary here on earth, for she cannot forget her devoted children when they depart from this life. Our Blessed Lady once said to Saint Bridget, "I am the mother of all the souls in purgatory, and the pains which they merit for the sins they committed in this life are, as long as they remain in that place of suffering, hourly mitigated in some measure by my prayers." Even the bare mention of the name of Mary, which means hope and salvation, and which these holy souls frequently invoke in this prison, brings them great consolation. And it is our duty during this life, and especially during this month of November, to bring what measure of consolation we can to these holy, suffering souls. By our merits and prayers, even the simple act of visiting a cemetery, but especially having masses said for the holy souls, these can be of great benefit to these souls. Just as we strive to practice charity towards those here on earth with us, we must strive to practice charity towards those who have gone before us and departed this life, for they are now in their hour of greatest need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.